Well, good morning, everyone, and again, I want to thank everyone for being here, especially our visitors. We do have several visitors this morning, and that's just wonderful. We love it, and we hope you'll come back every chance you have. You're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. I do ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, because I don't want you to take my word. I don't want you to take any man's word. Only the Word of God. And we all know that the history of the human race is as much a history of death as it is life. All who have lived in the past, with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, have died, and all who are alive today will one day die. I want you to think about all those people you've known over the past few years who have passed on from this earth. Like our brother Jim, who passed away last Wednesday. We all know several and have lost several who are close to us. Psalms 89 and verse 48 says, "What can live and never see death? What man can live and never see death?" Excuse me. Solomon said, if you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Solomon said in verse 5, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Solomon voiced something that all of us know, yet it's not something we want to even think about. It's a subject we dread. The only event that would prevent us from dying would be the return of Jesus Christ during our lifetime. For then the dead shall be raised and the living will be changed. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. The living will be transformed at His coming." All of us should expect death because God has appointed it, as seen in Hebrews 9:27, when He said, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." As a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, when they ate the forbidden fruit, physical death was appointed for the human race. So let's refresh our memory of that event. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we'll read verse 22 through 24. "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground for which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim in the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." I wish you'd come back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. Do you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22? He said, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." This is a reference to the physical death. The transgression of Adam and Eve brought sin into the world and death through sin. Romans 5 and verse 12, if you'd like to come with me. Romans 5 and verse 12. Paul said, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." This is a reference to the spiritual death. Each accountable human being dies a spiritual death because of their own sin. Spiritual death is as much a reality as the physical death is. Stuart Briscoe of The Spirit of Life wrote this, and I thought it was interesting, and I quote, "When I moved to the United States, I was impressed with the number of total strangers who visited my home to wish me well. They all sold insurance. One day, my visitor was talking about the necessity to be prudent in the preparation for all possibilities. 'If something should happen to you, Mr. Briscoe,' he started to say, but I interrupted with, 'Please, don't say that. It upsets me.' He was a little startled, but he tried again. 'But with all due respect, sir, we must be ready if something should happen to us.' 'Don't say that,' I insisted. He looked totally bewildered, and he said, 'I don't understand what I said to upset you.' 'Then I'll tell you,' I replied. 'It upsets me that you talk about life's only certainty as if it is a possibility. Death isn't a possibility, it is a certainty. You don't say if, you say when. Whenever death is the subject, it is going to happen to all of us. So it's logical to expect death at any age because people die at all stages of life, young, old, and in between. And I have heard of people who blame God when their young child would die or their daddy would die, their mother or whatever. Brethren, people die at all ages, young, old, and in between. Do not blame God. Most of us fully expect to live a long life before death comes. The rich farmer in Luke 12 planned to store up all his possessions and enjoy it for many years. He never expected to die so soon. But God said to him in Luke 12 and verse 20, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" The millions who live in this generation plan to live for a long time. When death suddenly stares us in the face, only then do we accept it with a lot of difficulty. Now, I'm not saying we sit around waiting to die. It is good to make plans, for we must understand we will die. In death, the inner man separates from the outer man. Our spirit will depart from the temple of clay in which it has lived. James said in James 2 and verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works or obedience is dead." In Luke 16 and verse 22, where the death of the poor beggar Lazarus is recorded, his spirit departed from his disease-ridden body and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. This is what happens when faithful Christians die. Angels of God transport the real us, or the inner man, to paradise, where we will await the resurrection at the last day. It's very important that you understand this. Many who die today expect death to enact some extraordinary changes for them that they're unwilling to make while they're living. And one of the great judgment day surprises is going to be this. It'll be shocking that the experience of death does not initiate a change in their spiritual condition before God. So let's look at what not to expect in death. We should not expect to die unsaved and be raised a saved and glorified person in the last day. We must be in Christ to be saved. And in Christ is the relationship where salvation with eternal glory is found in 2 Timothy 2:10. Look with me at 1 John 5:11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Where is this life? In His Son, in Christ. That's the way we get eternal life. Turn to Galatians 3, if you would, in verse 26 and 27. Galatians Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said in verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do you get in Christ? You are baptized into Christ. One does not get into Christ after death. King Hezekiah wrote in Isaiah 38, verse 19, he said, "For Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness." So you see, brethren and friends, beyond the gates of death, one cannot obey the gospel and enter into Christ. We may get into Christ only while we're alive and on this earth. So we should not expect to die out of Christ and then be raised in Him on the resurrection morning. My friends, if any of you are not in Christ today, you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ while you have the opportunity. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter told the sin-burdened people on the day of Pentecost when they cried out, "What shall we do?" That's the same answer I give you today, to get into Christ. It would be vain of us to expect to die as a backsliding Christian and be raised a faithful one when Jesus comes again. Please understand, the experience of death will not make an unfaithful Christian into a faithful one. If we are unrighteous and spiritually filthy when we die, we will still be unrighteous and filthy when we are raised. Listen to Solomon. If you would, turn with me to Ecclesiastes 11. Chapter 11. Let's listen to what Solomon says here. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3, he said, "If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie." What we are spiritually when we die will be what we are spiritually when we stand before Christ in judgment. Brethren, the time to repent of our worldliness and backsliding is now, right now, this very moment, this very morning, while we are still living on this earth. Look with me at Revelation chapter 2, please. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, to the church of Ephesus, Jesus said, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Unless you repent. So, brethren, we should not expect to die a liar and be raised a truth teller. We should not expect to die a thief and be raised an honest person. We should not expect to die as a murderer and be raised as a guiltless person. We should not expect to die a gossiper and a backbiter and be raised an encourager. We should not expect to die a covetous person and be raised a content person. We should not expect to die a drunkard and be raised a sober person. We should not expect to die a fashionist and be raised a peacemaker. And we should not expect to die in an adulterous marriage relationship and expect to be raised with everything right and acceptable with God. So let me emphasize, brethren, let me emphasize again, with everything that I've got, the time to make the necessary changes in our lives and correct whatever is wrong is now, while we have the opportunity. Death will not make any changes in one's character nor in the condition of his soul. Now let's talk about what to expect in death. We talked about what not to expect. Let's talk about what to expect. Well, nearly everyone fears dying and death, looking at it as something to be dreaded. Most of us look at death as a terrible monster with jaws wide open to swallow us up and forever bring all joy and happiness to an end. I think Christians dread the pain of dying more than anything else. But in reality, death to a Christian is a wonderful transition from this life that is filled with pain and disappointment to a life in a better, brighter realm, a time to greet the saints of God from all ages. Think about it. Think about it. Revelation 14, come with me. Revelation 14. Brethren, what God's people should expect in death is shown in Revelation 14 and verse 13, where the voice of John heard from heaven said, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Isn't that wonderful? The revelation from heaven shows that at death, Christians enter into a place and state of rest that is good work, and that the good works they did while on earth will follow them. The good works that we did will follow us. These good works will stand as a memorial of the faithful service they rendered while they lived on this earth. Paul shows in Romans 2 and verse 16 that even the secret things which others have not seen and do not know about will be revealed on the day of judgment. Everything will be revealed on the day of judgment. Solomon tells us the same thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 when he says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with the secret thing, whether good or evil." You can't hide from God. Soldiers who have been in the battlefield know something about the sweetness of rest following the battle. Every laborer in the field knows the satisfaction of enjoying rest at the end of a long day's work. Soldiers of Christ who have used the two-edged sword of spirit against the enemies of the Lord are assured of a sweet rest too. The worn-out saints who have labored in the vineyard, even those who came in at the 11th hour, will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the eternal kingdom of God and rest from their labors. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer says in verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Go down to verse 11. In verse 11 he says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience." Obedience, obedience, obedience. The theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Be diligent, brethren. What a rest it will be. Christians have the right to expect in death all the treasures laid up in heaven. All the treasures that we have, they will be awaiting us, kept securely by the Lord. Now, I know this is a familiar passage, but I want us to look at it anyway. It's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 20, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So whether we give a cup of water to the thirsty, or clothe those who are naked, or share our food with the hungry, or help the unfortunate with what they need, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven." When Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves," he's making this an individual responsibility. Just as money is deposited into a bank, earns interest for our account, so do those loving, sympathetic acts of mercy and generosity will accrue to our eternal account. Lay by in store to be used for the needy Christians in the evangelistic work will accrue to our eternal account as well. Thieves, stock market crashes, government catastrophes cannot take away the treasures we have deposited in the bank of heaven. In death, they're all in heaven's bank, secured by the only safe and secure banker of them all. Also, in death, the people of God can expect relief from passions and sicknesses and weaknesses of the flesh. I'd like you to look with me at Philippians chapter 3, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. Paul tells us that Christ, verse 21, tells us that Christ will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. To subject all things to Himself. What a great relief. It will be forever free from the burning passions, the terrible pains, the sufferings, and the tears, all of which are typical for this fleshly body. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, he says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Brethren, faithful Christians fully expect to share this mortal body with its sickness, its grief, its pain, and its dread of dying, and enter into our glorious spiritual bodies, which Jesus said is equal to the angels and is fitted for eternity. Now please look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Although John wrote that the body we have has not yet appeared in 1 John 3:2, but we glory in the assurance that in verse 18 of Romans 8 says, we glory in the assurance that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that will be, verse 21 says, delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Faithful Christians strive their entire life to live lives like Christ. We have the right to expect to be just like Christ when our transformation takes place at the resurrection. So in conclusion, what are you expecting in death? What right do you have to those expectations? Remember, as you enter into the valley of the shadow of death, there will be no extraordinary changes in the status of your character or spiritual conditions in the sight of God. What you are at the time that you walk into those chilly waters of the river of death will be what you are in the sight of God when you cross. The only logical and safe course for one to take in this life is to obey the gospel. To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live a faithful life that will honor and glorify God. What to expect if you're not a child of God? Well, I will just say that you will be separated from God for eternity. Separated from God for eternity. You will live in total blackness. You'll never see another tree. You'll never see grass again. You'll never see the sun. You'll never see the moon. You'll never see rain or snow, mountains or valleys. You will be separated from God forever. Forever living in total blackness and in pain. You will not enjoy the heavenly treasure. You will have an eternal body that will experience pain for eternity. We can't even imagine what eternity is. Our minds are not that good. We can't comprehend what eternity is. We can't comprehend forever and ever and ever. But that's what it is. So I beg you, and I plead with you, make the change now. Put on Christ in baptism today. Well, what must I do to be saved, you may ask? Well, if you're an unbeliever, believe, and after hearing the word, repent and be baptized. If you're a believer, repent and be baptized. And if you're a penitent believer, be baptized. If a child of God, then make the election and the calling sure. Endure unto the end. Be faithful unto death. Brethren, is there any way we can help anyone get to heaven? Will you come when we stand and sing the invitation song? Will you do that? If you're not a Christian, will you come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And when you rise from that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Maybe you've done those things, but you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. Take care of that before you leave this building. Take care of that right now. After you've repented to God, come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be right with God again. Just think about it. Don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. Can we help anybody in any way? If so, please come as we sing the invitation song. Brother Bill.